This is the Mother Time Madness podcast with Courts. I am Courts, and today's episode is raising skin-confident mothers in Canberra.
Most postpartum mothers have this moment in their life when they all of a sudden click and they're like, I need an eye cream. My baby's not sleeping. My eyes, you know that feeling when your eyes just are about to fall out of your head? I've never ever felt that tired before until I had a baby. Putting an eye cream around your eye area just feels so luxurious.
I'm chatting with Yads Couchy on the podcast today. Yads is a Canberran for life and a mother of three and works as a dermal therapist and beauty journalist. Let's get to know Yads with her ideal hang time in Canberra.
I love going into the city, just going to get my nails done. I can have a chat to my girlfriend. We can bitch about the week. We can talk about how crazy life is now that you've got the kids. Just feeling like yourself a little bit.
Your favourite walk around Canberra?
Oh, so Mount Ainslie, I haven't done that in ages though. Like, when you quite, I'm like, I used to be so
loved
into,
Mount Ainslie.
I loved Mount Ainslie. I loved, I still go for runs now. That's kind of my me time. And it's definitely a mental thing for me. I'm a very anxious person. And it's something that I never really dealt with until I had my kids. Mm. Like, I've always been a little bit anxious, but not to the point now where I'm like, I will freak out about them if I'm out. And it's over something super tiny that doesn't, like when they're with my husband and I'm like, is she sleeping? Yeah. And it just starts to play on my mind.
And it's like, you know what? Who cares? Yeah. If she's not, he can be dealing
can
with,
deal
it,
with it.
But your mind like sometimes can't process it like that.
And I find that when I'm exercising, I've got those endorphins. Mm. I can kind of deal with tantrums and things a little bit better.
And what are you binging on?
I don't watch a lot of TV, but Real Housewives is one of my favourite things to watch.
Any of the brands in particular?
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills are probably the best ones.
Yep.
anything that where I don't have to think.
It's one of those things where at the end of the day, if you do get the time to watch the TV, you don't want to be thinking too hard, do you?
No.
You really just want to be...
I really just want to kind of
switching
switch off. I'm also really big on TikTok at the moment. Like I love binging TikTok just because it's so funny and people are wild on TikTok.
When Yads came into the office to record this chat, she was flustered. We'd already had three phone calls about how she'd ended up at the wrong place because of Google Maps, and she parked in a building next door when she finally got here. I just wanted so badly to impress her. I was worried we were off to a bad start, but I quickly learned that she's just a perfectionist living in a mother's body. She was just worried she was late, but by the way, she was still 20 minutes early. Yad stole the room when I saw her, so stylish and put together for someone who'd referred to herself as a hot mess. Yads is an overachiever to say the least. Having become a dermal therapist after her first baby, she's now finishing a master's degree to be an even better DT for her clients. You can follow her for hilarious reels and insightful skin help at her Instagram page, Yads Couchy Skin. I'll spell that. Yads is Yads Couchy, Cauchy Skin. She starts by admitting it's a really, really busy life.
It is. Very hard. And the reason that I don't do it full time, which is what I was doing before I had my first freelancing beauty content full time, is that it's just not manageable. Remember when I had Javier, who is my eldest, I just thought, yeah, I'm going to have him and then I'm going to work from home and it's going to be a super simple life. And then as soon as they start crawling, as soon as they start moving, I just couldn't. There was no way.
What I found as well with babies is they're very fickle. And when you are available for them, they don't really care that much about you and wanting your attention. Like they'll solo play fine. They'll sit there and play with their toys, no worries. And then as soon as you're focusing on something else, it's like, oh, I need mummy's attention.
Yeah, it's really, really hard. I'm actually finding it, I guess, a little bit easier with the third because my eldest is in school. My daughter goes to daycare 2 days a week. So it's really only Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays. I wake up really early. Like I'm talking 4:30, 5 o'clock sometimes. Mm-hmm. I'm also doing my master's in nutrition at the moment.
Ooh, which she's is an overachiever, everyone. We found her.
I just like to be busy. Before I was working in clinic, I was a journalist. I've always worked to deadlines. I like that fast-paced environment. I've only ever worked in a strategic environment once in my life when I was at uni, and I wanted to kill myself. I just thought, this is the most boring. I have a deadline that's like 8 months from now. I'm not going to do it. It's just not my personality. So I'm the type of person that likes to be very, very busy.
You're obviously achieving that. Well done.
Losing my mind in the process. I'm halfway through my master's. And I think people have said to me, like, when you're halfway through, that's when you kind of think, why am I doing this? Which is exactly where I'm at. Because at the beginning, I just thought, this is fun. This is exciting. I want to bring nutrition into the clinic. I want to talk about skin with my clients from an educated perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much to food. But now that I'm halfway through, I'm like, oh, I've got another year to go. Like, this is just, why am I doing this?
Is that all online? So you don't have to go into classes
or anything? No. I'm really time efficient.
Yep.
I hate being late to anything, like today.
You weren't late, by the way.
I wasn't late, but it's because I left super early. But my life is a hot mess. As you can probably tell, I work on autopilot. So some my attention to detail is completely shot. It's not anywhere near as good as it used to be when I was pre-kids. My mind is gone. My memory's gone.
My brain doesn't work the same though.
Yeah, definitely.
As pre-kids. Like I never had a great memory before kids and now it is shot to hell.
And I say the dumbest things all the time or I'll sit there in the kitchen and I'll ask my husband, I'm like, what were we talking about just then? I know that it was important.
So with dermal therapy and pregnancy and postpartum and then also writing with it, did you find like once you became a mum, your whole perspective on your work changed?
Definitely. Well, I didn't become a dermal therapist until after I had my first.
Okay.
So I was writing, I've always been health orientated. I just remember interviewing a lot of, you know, dermatologists and nutritionists and all of these people. And I just thought skin is so linked to your overall health as well. And I loved beauty, so I just combined them two.
Yeah. And then when you first started as a journo, was it always like health and wellness journalism or?
No. So I did everything.
Yeah.
One of the first things I ever wrote about, I think straight out of uni, was for Cosmopolitan, was about pregnancy. I knew nothing about it, but I think when you're straight out of uni, you just do everything. So I've written about weddings, health and fitness, beauty, businesses, so for the Collective magazine as well, but beauty and health were definitely, as soon as I started writing about beauty, I was like, boom, this is it.
Found my calling.
Yeah. It's also a really fun industry.
Yeah.
Like it's not, I have done a little bit of fashion work as well, and I just found fashion really difficult. There's only so many ways that you can write about a skirt. Do you know what I mean? But I think when you're playing with products and you're getting all of these products sent to you, and I just loved it. And I loved skin.
And everyone's skin is very unique to
them. Totally. So. And it's very different. When you start working in clinic, you realize how much marketing influences everyone.
Yeah.
And nobody really knows what they're doing because there's just so many different perspectives on skin. Obviously, influencer culture is huge as well. So you've got all of these people promoting products and people not really knowing what to do and how to look after their skin.
When you see that, when you see an influencer like putting their name to a product and it's a product that you maybe don't think is a very good product.
Yeah.
Do you just have like an inner rage where you're like, come on, definitely. Do your own research and realise they're getting paid for this. This is their job.
And that's what I try to do with my Instagram as well. When I started it, I just thought, I just want people, I don't want it to sell anything. Even though I do work with brands on my Instagram, they're brands that I've worked with, you know, for over 10 years now. But I just want people to know how to look after their skin so that they're not, so they're a little more savvy when it comes to seeing a post like that.
Mm.
So if an influencer is saying, this is my holy grail moisturizer, just because it's their holy grail moisturizer, it doesn't mean that it's yours. Going to be yours. Because I'm a journalist and I do get the same press releases as influencers do, when a product is being promoted, I'll know that it's being promoted because it's been sent to me as a press release. I know that this is the time frame that people are promoting it. And boom, 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 I'll see it like rolled out onto social media. All of a sudden, everyone loves this moisturizer. Mm. So I'm like, but do you really love this moisturizer?
I've been so suckered into that.
Yeah.
It's so easy.
It's so easy.
You see someone using it, or your friend even says that they're using it and it works for them.
Yeah.
And then you just start using it because you're like, oh, well, I'm meant to.
Even consumers in the beauty industry and clients that I have, they know a little bit more about skin, so they're not as suckered in to beauty content, I think. People know ingredients that work for them. They want to know. And that's one of the things that Adore Beauty does. You know, they've got their podcast, they've got their website, and all of their staff are super knowledgeable on skin and the ways to look after their skin. And it's not a salesy website where they're trying to sell you product. They want you to learn.
And education.
And educate you on how to look after your skin.
So you're writing for Adore Beauty, and where are you going into clinic?
It's just in Kingston, Extra Clinic in Kingston.
Extra Clinic in Kingston, cool.
Yeah.
And tell me what a dermal therapist does in her day.
Basically, we're just looking after people's skin health. So the treatments that we do range from chemical peels to laser, microneedling, even just coming in for a consultation. If you have no idea what you're doing with your skincare and you just want some help looking after your skin and what to be using.
When I was pregnant with my first, I could have cooked an egg on my face. It was so oily. I've never been so oily. And then when I was pregnant with my second, it was the Sahara Desert. They were both girls. So all of this stuff about, you know, your body changes depending on girl or boy, didn't happen for me with my skin.
Yeah.
Mine was just all over the shop. Are you dealing with very many mothers coming in?
I love dealing with mothers because I've been there with my skin as well. So I had hormonal acne with my first pregnancy. My two, that was with a boy, and they say it's the opposite. That when you're pregnant with a girl, that's when your skin
goes bad.
You'll get
acne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's very different for everyone. I do find that looking after your skin throughout that pregnancy period is really important. A lot of people just freak out and think, oh my God, I can't use anything on my skin anymore because I'm scared. Mm. They're scared of everything. So obviously talking to your doctor about the products that you can use and ingredients. A lot of the time I used to take my actual products to my GP and just say, is this okay?
Anything in here that I can't use.
Yeah. Talk to your dermal therapist. That way when you go into the postpartum period, a lot of people, I don't get postpartum mothers that come in, you know, in the first 3 months, like you don't even leave your house.
No.
You're not going to go into a clinic for a skin treatment. Your hormones are all over the place. You're still breastfeeding. But I think as you start to kind of move away from that crazy period, people want to start looking after their skin. They want to kind of feel like themselves again. And I find that coming into clinic is really important.
When I sort of got over the pregnancy and being big and bloated and feeling just like a whale walking around, and then you have the baby, and like you said, a few months later, because it always takes a few months to feel
normal. Relatively
normal, really, it's probably more like a year before you're really feeling normal. I remember just looking at myself one day, I think it was after my second actually, and I said to my husband, I was like, I'm grey.
Yeah.
I have grey skin now, and I don't know what to do. And I remember, I've been given a voucher, I'll go and get myself a facial.
Yeah.
And you just go in there and you're like, oh my God, it's like my skin is soaking it all up.
Yeah, definitely.
You've neglected me.
I also say that most postpartum mothers have this moment in their life when they all of a sudden click and they're like, I need an eye cream.
Yeah.
I'm so freaking tired. My baby's not sleeping. My eyes, you know that feeling when your eyes just, like, are about to fall out of your head? I've never ever felt that tired before until I had a baby. And I'm like, I need something.
Tired.
Putting an eye cream around your eye area just feels so luxurious.
Yeah.
Leaving it in the fridge, using ice rollers. I leave all my face masks in the fridge. And I'm like,
face masks in
I just
the fridge
need
is
it.
Next level, especially in summer. Oh, love it. My husband even has just got on board with eye cream finally.
Oh my God.
After all of the years that I've been saying to him, you really need to take a bit more care of that face skin you've got there. He's finally on board because he looks at himself and he's like, wow, I've got two kids under three.
Yeah.
And you can tell.
Yeah. But it's just unfair because I find that with men, they just naturally look glowy. Whereas women, we have so many products thrown at us and so many things that we're supposedly meant to be using and then we just don't have the same.
That's a question I have for you. Are we all using too many products?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That's why the number one thing that I see in clinic is people overusing active ingredients because nobody knows how to use them properly.
Mm-hmm.
Or they don't realise that there are active ingredients in the products that they're using. So let's say you're using a retinol once a week, two times a week, but you're cleansing with an exfoliating cleanser without knowing that there's chemical exfoliants in it. Our skin naturally is exfoliating all the time. We don't need to be exfoliating every single day.
Right.
So when you're doing that, on top of using all of these actives, you're going to damage your barrier. You're going to get redness. You're going to get dryness. You're going to get irritation, all of those things. And people aren't wearing sunscreen. That's my number one thing. And I sound like a broken record every time that I talk about it. And I feel bad because every single person will come in to clinic and say, oh, but there's SPF in my makeup. But the SPF in your makeup is not enough.
A couple of years ago, one of my good friends told me that she is completely anal about her sunscreen application.
Yeah.
Growing up as a redhead, my mum was thrusting sunscreen upon me at all times, but I was a kid, so it was, you know, I'll put it on when I have to.
Yeah.
And ever since my friend said that to me, I have not gone a day without putting sunscreen on my face.
Yeah.
And it's helped.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You will notice, especially if you are of a fairer skin type, if you have any redness in your skin, if you've got pigmentation, do not even go out into the sun, make a bunker, go hide underneath the bunker in your house. Like, that is what I do because I've dealt with pigmentation throughout my pregnancy and things like that.
So on top of all of the work as a mother and as a writer and a dermal therapist, you also run a pretty successful Instagram page. With quite a lot of followers.
Oh, which one?
Your personal one?
My personal one, yeah. I kind of have pulled back on it because I've been focusing on my, just my skin one.
Yep.
I used to post about my kids all the time when they were younger and it was fun. It was really, really fun. And I still like to kind of have that, that page to talk about motherhood and relate to a lot of women, I guess, and try to tell them that nothing is perfect. I'm losing my shit all the time. My life is chaotic. But I've found that as my kids have gotten older, I don't want to have them on social media. They're little people. And you don't really realize, I think, when you have a baby, because they're not talking or they're not giving you that kind of communication that you do get from a 5 and 6 year old. And you realize that they're their own person.
And I think that we just sort of watch everyone else doing it and go, oh, well, everyone's doing it.
Yeah.
So I'll just do it. And then you get a bit caught up in it.
Definitely.
And the thing that I know I got caught up in with Instagram and mummy Instagram, because that's a whole business in its own, is that you watch these women and they're perfect linen clothes.
Everything's the same color.
Everything's perfect color. Yeah, everything. Yeah. Like, why don't any of you have those heinous bright colored toys that I've got? You've got all these nice wooden ones. Mine are all like
and
bright
everything's
and
like
loud.
Neutral toned, blush toned. Like, should I buy that when I'm pregnant? Just, it's a lot.
And there's so much pressure. You just look at it and you think, well, there's so much pressure. Did you feel pressure when you were trying to run it like as a bit of a family mummy page? Was there a pressure to look a certain way, to have a certain filter, to set a photo up the right way? Or did you try and be real from the get-go?
I love to write. So it was more about my captions. Always.
Yeah.
But I do like to have a nice photo. I think that's changing a lot with Instagram now, because people are pushing past that. They don't want the nice photo. They want the photo dumps. And just Instagram is that kind of fake reality. But even when people say this is my real life, it's still not really their real life.
Yeah. There's influencers that I follow that will outwardly say I'm not putting the bad stuff on here. There's been times where I've just unfollowed because of that, because I just go, well,
I want to see the realness.
Yeah. And I think that's on everyone, you know. Just unfollow.
Yeah, definitely.
If you don't like someone, you can just unfollow. I think everyone thinks that you have some obligation to each other. Hey, a quick reminder, mother's guilt is not your solo burden. We all have it. Yads has managed to sum hers up in one word, and I think that you'll relate. She'll tell you how she's feeling at the end of the episode. Now, though, her best tip for pregnant and postpartum people's skin.
Use sunscreen. Definitely. Every single day, stay out of the sun. Wear a hat, especially if you're prone to pigmentation. Both pregnancy and postpartum. Postpartum, I would recommend coming into clinic and just getting a consultation, making sure that you've got your products all working for you, making sure that you're not overusing any ingredients, and trying to carve out that little time for yourself.
Yeah.
Even if it's not, even if you don't come back and you just want to have a little bit of a lay under an LED light, or just, you know, making that time for yourself is super important, I think, when you're a mum.
I think that is like half of it, right? Like you you want to look in the mirror and feel really good about your skin and yourself, but an hour to yourself.
Oh yeah. Before kids, I used to hate going to the hairdresser because I'm like, I'm going to sit here for 3 hours.
Staring at myself.
And now I'm like, I can't wait to go get my hair done.
I'm going to book an afternoon one so they can give me a wine while I'm there.
Yeah. And that's something that's changed as well with how many kids I have now, because I've got 3. I found it really hard. I remember the first time that I went to yoga post my first baby, and I just cried because I was breastfeeding at the time, and I just thought, he'd never taken a bottle. My husband had a bottle and he was like, just relax and go. Literally went to yoga, came back home, and I was like, not doing that again. And now that I've got the 3 kids, I'm like, I have to make that time for myself because it makes me a better mum. And because I don't have that help as well, it's really hard. I find it still, like the other day, my husband was like, you need to relax and you just need to go and be away from the kids. And I just felt so anxious away from them. And I just thought, I want to come home. Mm-hmm. I know it's meant to be my me time, but I just like to be with them. Even though they drive me crazy, I love them. Like, I love being a mum. I love being with them. But you do need to make that time for yourself.
Even if you've got to push through a few tears.
Yeah. I can relate to women who are mothers a lot more than women who aren't, because it's the most annoying thing when people say this, like, you don't understand until you become a mum, but you honestly don't.
You don't. You can't blame them because you didn't realise either.
No.
But at the same time, you just go, they'll get it one day. I won't bring that up with them again.
Yeah.
And I just feel like you talk about them with.
The sleep deprivation and not being on the ball, little things like that are a little bit of a joke. Realistically, you don't want to be like that.
No.
You have to be on the ball. There are just balls dropping everywhere all the time, and it's just, which one's the most important? That's kind of how I look at it. Like, okay, if I've got a deadline, obviously my kid's going to be on the iPad. they just have to be because mm-hmm. I have to meet this deadline. Mm-hmm. And I'm always a week ahead of my deadlines because I just, you never know when they're going to get sick. Mm. You never know when they're you're going to get sick. You never know if your baby's going to start teething. And then all of a sudden you have to write, you know, 1,000-word article and the night before. Like, I would never do that. No way.
But you don't want to get to that point by dropping certain balls. Yeah. There's a different mental load for mothers too, I think. And that is things like, I've got to rotate out the clothes because they're going to grow out of those ones. So I better rotate those in and get rid of the other ones, pile those up to give to someone else.
Yeah.
That means that that kid's going to need some more leggings, pants, socks, undies, whatever. So you're thinking about all these things at different times. And then you're going, okay, well, when am I going to get to the shop to buy those things? I'd rather go without them so that I'm just can rush in and rush out. Like all these little things that a mother's brain is constantly like ticking over. And so then when the kid actually is there and annoying you, it's like, okay, my fuse is about to blow. And it's not because I've been with you all day, but I've been thinking about everything in your life the whole entire day.
And even thinking about, like, I used to love cooking and I just feel like my kids have just killed that from me because they're so hard to feed.
Mm.
It's just like all of these little things that I'm like, I don't want to cook dinner tonight, but I have to because I can't just leave three kids to starve.
Yeah. So what am I going to cook and who's going to eat what? And when am I going to get to the shop to get the food?
Three different meals. And
yeah.
You can see why marriages break down.
100%.
You can see why relationships just turn 100%. Shit because it's so hard.
Mm.
And there are days where I will just wake up and hate my husband because he's slept 8 hours. And I will look at him and I'm like, I want to sleep. I want to sleep. Why are you getting to sleep? And it's these little things that I just wish would change a little bit. And that's when I start to wish away the time with the younger kids. Because now that my kids are older, before I had the third, life was easy because they were sleeping and you're sleeping and everything was like easy with the two.
Playing together.
Now you're thrown back into the third baby. And we wanted to do it, obviously. A third baby was a choice. Well, something that I was asked all the time when I was pregnant. Because when you have the third, people are like, are you sure? You sure you want that third? I'm like, yes, this is not a mistake. Yeah, you're thrown back into that newborn stage where you're not sleeping and you're bickering and you're just tired and you've got so much on.
And then you find yourself like, I can't wait until you're just like one and a half so you can just run around with them and be a bit more independent. But then you're like, wait, mother's guilt? No, don't wish away this time. Yeah. Like, love your baby right now in all the stages.
Definitely. And I think this year, because my son started kindy this year, and I just remember the first day that he went to school, I bawled my eyes out because I feel like crying now even because it just went so quick and I didn't realise.
Mm.
But it's just being mum.
It's being a mum.
And now that I've got my third daughter, my second, I hated being a mum when I had the second because they were 22 months apart and it was so hard having two newborn, not really a newborn, but I had having a newborn and another one in nappies. I literally would breastfeed my daughter and my son would like take everything out of the cupboards and everything would be on the floor and I couldn't do anything about it. And then I'd have to put her to sleep and then he'd be losing and it was just so hard. Now that I had my third, they're 3 years apart and it's so perfect. 3 year age gap I think is really manageable, especially with my daughter who is such a helper. She's got her little dolls and she'll like feed her her dolls at the same time that I feed Milena, and all of these things are just like, it's so much easier. But yeah, it changes as they grow and I kind of, I'm looking forward to having that bit of freedom back, I think, as they get older. But at the same time, with the third, you don't wish it away as much.
Feeling connected to mums is so important, and that's why every episode we are touching on mother's guilt we have felt this week. Yad summed it up in one word.
Everything.
Everything.
Literally everything. I just always have it at the moment because a lot of my energy is devoted to my baby. I feel like I always feel really guilty for the older two, that I'm not as present as I used to be or as I can be. I think as the kids get older, they require more attention from you, which I have always thought it would be the opposite way around because babies obviously are so demanding, but they just want to be fed and cuddled and slept on. It's not as emotionally demanding as a 5-year-old who is like, Mummy, I want you to play with me, I want you to read to me, and I want you to focus on me. And that's one of the reasons why we would never have any more kids. I would love to, if in a perfect world, I'd love to have more kids. I think it would be a little bit unfair on the other three because I'm one person and it's really hard.
Really hard.
Yeah.
I do like here, though, that you wrote down there you ate the chocolate and told them there was none left.
Oh, definitely. I lie to them all the time. That's one of the funniest things about being a parent, I think, because you don't realise how...
It's lies and bribery.
Yeah,
I tell
basically.
Everyone, it's lies and bribery, and that's how we're getting by right now.
And it's so funny because I is everything. I hate going to the park, and every time I don't want to go to the park, I just tell them it's closed.
I love that I've found another mother who doesn't love the park.
Oh, I hate it. It's so boring. Yeah. And I just, it's really traumatizing for me. They're fighting.
Yeah.
They're fighting over the swing. They're fighting over the slide. They've got the baby who's eating tambark, and I just don't enjoy it. So little things like that, I think, make my life easy. I just like doing little white lies. I dread the day that Javi will say to me, "Mummy, the park doesn't close."
Thanks for listening to Mother Time Madness Season 1. That is a wrap on the first season, and I hope you enjoyed it. If this was the first episode you've heard, make sure you go back and check out the other episodes with more amazing stories from women in the nation's capital. You can follow me at with.courts on Instagram and find me withcourts.com.au. And if you love this podcast, I'd love for the rating and the subscribing and the sharing.